Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. And Mark's here. He's already gave the game away. Sir Martin of the Adkins has joined us. I can tell you why. That was a sigh, because we were talking on Friday night, and as all Charlton fans were, just absolutely upset, hurt at those scenes at the end. 95th minute, equaliser from Hull. Could not quite believe it. The game on Sky had my feet up, and it absolutely ruined my Friday night. So I can't wait to see what these guys, because if it ruined my Friday night, I'm sure it ruined their whole week. Well, we're going to be getting into that game, talking a little bit of our moments of the decade, because not only is this the last show before Christmas and the one of the year, but the last show of the decade, and we'll be doing who is the best player at the halfway point of the season so far. A wonderful addition, and that wonderful addition come by Rob Sullivan, who has joined us in the studio. What a welcome return for Christmas.
Welcome back, Robert.
Just in time.
Just in time. Just as Charlton were going down with many injuries, dropping like flies, we bring one back of our own. It is Rob Sullivan. And you can tell I am joined in the studio by Paul Sullivan and Sir Martin of the Adkins. No Ollie Cook. Maybe he's had one Christmas sweater too many and he has not made the trip tonight. We will be doing our housekeeping, talking about that contract status with Lyle Taylor and looking towards a QPR game. Gareth Dixon from Ranger Things will be joining us. But we have to start at the top, as we always do. And once again, a disappointing one, because no wins in 10. Martin, I was texting you on your Friday, and afterwards I thought, I don't know if I'm making this worse for him, but...
No, you didn't.
Very disappointing.
Well, what was remarkable during our little text gate on Friday was... literally, there was a shot in the first half, and I don't know which player it was from Hull. And literally, at the time, I was screaming blue murder for it. It's a penalty. And he texted me, he said, stop shouting. It's in his hand. And I went, how do you know I was shouting for a penalty? But anyway, no. On to the game. It was a disappointing end. I thought, you know, performance-wise, it was a lot better. You know, but I think a draw was a fair result, to be honest. I do.
Oh, I don't know. I thought first half, I don't think they was at the races. So yeah. I know in the second half they come on strong. But when you're 2-0 up, you know, again, we've spoke about the young side, a little bit naivety to see a game out. I'm not trying to knock the players, Paul, but they just couldn't do it in that instant.
Yeah, you know my thoughts on game management. There was an opportunity just before the free kick, which Lecco gave away. I think Gallagher had it in their half. And, you know, he could have shielded the ball, you know, used Taylor. And I was having dinner with John Humphrey, ex-Charlton player, last night. And he was pointing
that
out.
Name drop out.
Just drop it there.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Do that what you
Boom.
Want. Yeah, I know.
Boom.
But, 5 minutes in.
But he brought that up. He said, you know, that's the sort of thing you've got to do as a player. And I wanted a player's perspective. And that was interesting for him to say that. By the way, while I remember, Merry Christmas to John from Thailand, who's a regular listener. He'll be listening in tonight.
Anything else, Paul?
Yeah, I was just, you know, I have these requests and I've got to
start charging this, John, for these
I think we could do a segment in the new year, like, who has Paul had dinner with this week? And you give us a set of clues.
Well, I was talking about Danny Cowley last week, wasn't I?
Yeah, you dropped that one actually, in. Yeah.
But, so in actual fact, I was more gutted with the Huddersfield end, because I think as a Charlton supporter, I just wasn't thinking we've got this one until that final whistle. And Charlton didn't disappoint me, because I just couldn't believe it. It was crazy. And Lee Bowyer, I mean, he was so gutted, wasn't he? He was. It really took it out of him on Friday night, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, where I sit in the stadium, the obscenities were there. I could hear him, you know, go for it, which was obviously for him. And you think you're that close to getting that win. And very much like yourself, both of you, I just, it can't keep happening. You know, you can excuse it maybe once or twice, but it's happened, what, four or five times now this season? And ultimately, whether it's, you know, games that are sort of some games you think, you know, when we played the likes of Luton and Millwall, I thought we should have been a little bit more attacking because I never thought they were, you know, that strong an opposition in terms of the quality we had on the pitch, the quality they had on the pitch. But similar to Hull, I agree, they weren't at the races in the first half. And it was such a soft goal to give away for their equaliser. Mm. I mean, that was frustrating. And then you think...
The first one or the second one?
The first one. Mm. I mean, the second one as well. I mean, yeah. I don't know how the bloke got the jump on Purrington. I mean, he got out of nowhere. And I mean, unfortunately for Phillips, who had an amazing game again, kept us in it, maybe could have kept that out, but unfortunately you can't rely on him to pull off, you know, every week in, week out, he's saving us as it is. So
I mean, for him to save that goal, that's going to be a worldie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's headed down, it's literally from about 3 or 4 yards out. And as you say, Phillips kept us in the game, which is why I think a draw was a fair result in the end, because, you know, we didn't really trouble their keeper in the second half, you know, didn't really have a save to make, did he?
So it just sums up what's going on at the moment. It does, it really does.
And really, to me, Hull, apart from their two main danger men is that Grosicki.
And Bowen,
do you like the way I said that? Bowen. And Grosicki, I mean, he assisted...
class.
He assisted both goals. You know, the ball came over. Bowen was there, coming in on the blind side of Prattley for that first goal. So we knew where the danger's from, but we didn't heed it at all. So very disappointing. But I agree with Mark. A massive improvement from Tuesday night, because I felt, you know, we looked a bit classy moving the ball around. Prattley and Gallagher. Lecco had a great game, by the way.
Lecco's best game in the Charlton shirt, for
definitely.
Me.
And it would have been so nice for Saar to do a tunnel jump at the end, because Saar's obviously been under the cosh, and to score that goal, that would have given his confidence the world of good, or the power of good, I should say. Johnny Burrow wouldn't be happy with that, would he? And just another frustrating night. But we go again, Robert.
Yeah, well, it was a frustrating night. Obviously, no winning 10. And Rob, we haven't had the pleasure of you joining us in the studio for the last weeks. What have you made of it, just quickly, this run at the minute?
The run has just been horrible. I think it losing Taylor and then gradually, one by one, losing Field, Forster Caskey. I think where we're really struggling is in the centre of midfield at the moment. We're getting overrun because we don't have the experience. And if you look at when we played Hull on Friday, we had sort of a middle three with Prattley, Gallagher and
Morgan.
Doughty. No, sorry, Morgan, you're right, Morgan. And that's Prattley, for me, he's a great player, but he's kind of at the other end of his career where we should perhaps be rotating him, whereas he's having to play every game and then manage two real young players either side of him, and that's taking its toll on him. And we're getting overrun in the middle of the pitch, I think, a lot at the moment, and that's suffering.
Well, that's why they signed Ledley, though, didn't he? It's just,
well,
maybe
that's why I'm hoping he can come in on Saturday, because maybe he's just not up to match fitness yet. I don't know.
He certainly wasn't at Middlesbrough.
He can't be. You mentioned, obviously, Lebo after the game, shouting obscenities during the game, but he just said, look, Mark, he said, my head is not in a good place at the minute. You know, what can I say to that? Where do you even start? I get that we have to defend right until the final whistle, but it's down to the players. They have got to learn. Conceding in the final 30 seconds, you know, is what's doing. He's heading more than most at the minute.
Well, as Rob's rightly said, you know, Ben Purrington clearly lost his man, lost a bit of concentration. It's that,
and that's
late.
All it takes.
It is. It's that late in the game now, all tired, you know, but the game lasts for 94, 95, 96 minutes, however long it is, you know, and the fact of the matter is, you know, it's those small lapses in concentration. You can get away with them in the First Division, in League One. You can't do it in Championship. You can't. You just can't do it.
And there was just total disorganisation in that defence for that goal, because there was a cluster of defenders on the opposite post, basically doing nothing.
It was just a hoof into the box in the last minute. I mean, it shouldn't be going. You can understand if the blokes whipped it in, you know, and caught us out, but he just launched it into the box. You should be able to deal with that.
Also, I know, because I was watching the game and I'm checking on social media, and Dylan Phillips coming for a little bit of stick after, and that's the annoying thing, because, you know, he's making saves, he's having a good game, but then it's what people remember or take from that game, because that was the last 9 seconds of it, Mark. And I know you're always one who defends Dylan.
Well, you can't blame him for that goal, not having it. It's, you know, as I just said about 5 minutes ago, if he saves that's a worldie. I mean, that's an absolute worldie of a save. I mean, it's point blank, it's it's down literally right at his near post. And I know, like, the goalkeeper's union, you shouldn't be beating at your near post, but I just don't think they're savable. I don't.
Yeah, he didn't. He couldn't dig it out in time. Yeah, it was more, for me, it was more Purrington not getting the block on his man. But, yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, jump in front of your man. Put him off, whatever. You know what I mean?
I know you said Hull were maybe deserved of a point and they got that one. But when you was 2-1 up and it was, you know, the 93rd, the 94th minute, was there ever a feeling Hull were going to get this? Because I'm watching it and I'm willing Charlton on, but I don't know why. And maybe I shouldn't be saying it. I just thought they're going to equalise here. I just felt it.
It got to about the 75th minute. So around about that time, 75th, 76th, something like that. And I turned my mate to my left and I said, we're too deep. I said, she's driving me insane. We were literally sitting. I mean, you've got an experienced centre-back in our captain in Jason Pearce. He should be saying to them, boys, come on, let's get up, let's get up. They haven't got the pace to get in behind us, so let's not worry about that. They didn't have the pace. You know, I know Krasicki and Bowen are pace out wide, but Matthews and Purrington, I thought they dealt with him reasonably well. And then, but we were so deep, and we were just offering, come on, have a go at us. And we can't defend, like, you know, backs to the wall like that. We can't.
And I think we're also so shattered towards the end of games.
Yeah.
I mean, we just played the Huddersfield on the Tuesday and, you know, pretty much the same personnel at the back there. Mm. Obviously, Matthews came in for Solly, but the three central defenders.
Yeah, and I agree with Mark, actually, because if you look at the substitution, Oshilaja for Morgan, I know Morgan's young, but that's a defensive substitution. Mm. So that says to Hull, we're sitting back, we're going to hold on to this. And we did it at Millwall, we got the equaliser. For some reason, we just got deeper and deeper. We've got a... These teams are there to be attacked, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm not a qualified football coach, but yeah.
Well, maybe a little bit of naivety there from Lee Bowyer, because you mentioned it, Paul, the game management. It's interesting as well, because I'm across the SE7 podcast Twitter, and before the game, you done a poll, you said 3 points tonight or the takeover to go through, and it ran very, very close, didn't it, Mark?
Yeah. It went like a Brexit vote, like 52-48, you know, so yeah, that was close. I was interested to see what people's views were, because obviously...
I can't believe it was so close.
Yeah, all a dodgy run, I thought, let's see what people's views are, and it was, you know, I was quite surprised by that.
I think I went takeover, actually.
I voted. You said takeover.
Yeah.
I said 3 points.
3 points, because the takeover is going to happen, in my opinion, regardless. So.
And I said 3 points. Yeah. Paul, takeover, why?
Well, because I think...
Because you're normally one who looks down, because that sounds negative, but you know, you're wary of where Charlton are in that league table and what's below you, what's above you.
I'm very conscious of the bigger perspective, because it's so important that we get these new guys in. We've got to get the Roland de Châtelet era behind us. And I honestly do believe if we can get these guys in, you know, we, first of all, stability is the first thing. But, you know, there's the potential of a really rosy future. And there's time, if we can get them in, to sort ourselves out with the reinforcements in January. There's a few key things, obviously. We've mentioned it before. We need to get the Bowyer contract sorted out. We're going to speak about Lyle Taylor, obviously, on the show tonight. And also, I'm really concerned about our medical department and the preparation and the recovery. You've got to ask questions. The amount of injuries we're having, it's just too much. And one has to ask questions. It reached a peak of 14. What is happening? And it's not just this season. It's been the last 2-3 seasons going back to the Carl Robinson reign.
Yeah, I mean, you were seen today.
I got a little bit scared then.
We saw today Williams and Field, you know, both were meant to be coming back on Saturday playing some sort of role. Williams has done his hamstring, hasn't he? Air shot in training.
Field got injured.
Field was,
in training,
I think, unfortunately. You know. Field's back at West Brom, as I understand it.
Exactly. Yeah. I, do you know what? I was really looking forward to a cheese and pickle sandwich, a cup of tea.
Unbelievable.
And two custard creams. I settled
two,
down.
Paul?
Oh, yeah.
It is Christmas.
You'd go for more, was more or less?
Oh, more.
Okay. I've never been a whole packet sort of biscuit sort of man. Yeah. I just had me two, and that's fine. I do have that every day, and a cake. But there you go. Yeah, I was looking forward to that. And my heart sank when I saw that we were going to be missing them on the bench. And it looks really more serious with Field. It could
Phil,
be out for
Phil
a few
did
weeks.
The injury back up. He's
you
been training with West
Brom. You
can't
blame the medical department for in-game injuries. Yeah. You can't. We've had this on Twitter with some of our fan base. Yes, as you say, the recovery ones coming back, say like Jake Forster-Kaski, maybe he was brought back a bit too soon, but he played two games. I don't know. It's difficult to tell, isn't it?
It is very difficult to tell. But we're delighted to say next we do have a very special guest. Harry Lowe will be joining us. We're still going to be talking about our Cholton moments of the decade, housekeeping, Lyle Taylor's contract situation, then a look towards that game of QPR on the weekend.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Love Sport.
This will be the final act of the half. That's 5 minutes on the clock. George Long hangs it up to the back post. It's a really good ball. It's headed clear by Lockyer. Falls to Grosicki. Grosicki goes to the back post. Bowen's there. Hull have won the header and it's gone in. I cannot believe it. But once again, Charlton, with the last kick of the game, have conceded with a header into the bottom corner. Dylan Phillips tipped it onto the post. It hit the post, it hit the back of Dylan Phillips' fist, and for the second time in 4 days, Charlton Athletic have conceded at the end of the game. This game will finish 2-2, heartbreak for the Addicts, and Charlton cannot buy a win at the moment.
Well, that was, if you are wondering, and I'm sure you are, that was the brilliant Harry Lowe and his commentary there of the game on Friday night at the desperate, desperate sad times when Hull equalised in the 95th minute, denying Charlton 3 points when they hadn't won for 9 games, now obviously 10. And what better than we not listening to that commentary than saying we do have Harry Lowe on the phone with us. Harry, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of time. I know you do commentary for the club and off hospital radio. Brilliant to get you on. What are you making of Charlton season so far?
Well, obviously it's been a season of two halves, really. If you look at the first 10 games, couldn't have really got much better. Hugely overperformed, I thought. And now we're performing a bit more closely to what the pundits predicted pre-season. It's undoubtedly Bowyer's most difficult spell since he took over, and I'm really interested to see how he and the players respond to it, because I think that's where you learn the most about, and certainly Bowyer will probably say this, where he'll learn the most about his players, and obviously how we respond will define ultimately how the season ends.
Thing is, Harry, if we hadn't have had this injury crisis, so to speak, I don't think we'd be in the same position. I think we'd be up in the playoff places and challenging. So I know the pundits were saying at the beginning, but for a club to lose the players of the calibre that we've lost through injury, I don't think any other club in the division would be able to cope with that sort of injury list either.
Well, I agree with you to a large extent that we have been particularly unlucky with injuries. I think there might have been more depth in the squad had we had a larger budget. Mm. The fact that we have the lowest, or if not the lowest, one of the lowest budgets in the league has been shown up very clearly in recent weeks. I was interested, Bowyer, after the defeat at Huddersfield on Tuesday. Very unlike him, he always praises his team, doesn't he? He's always really happy with the work rate. And he came out after Middlesbrough and said, "I wasn't happy with the work rate," for the first time since I took over. And he didn't come out on Tuesday against Huddersfield and praise his players, because the first half against Huddersfield, we really didn't show any of the response that he was looking for. We did after half time. But what was most interesting to me was that he didn't come out and say, "My players gave me everything." And he actually chose to blame refereeing decisions for Charlton's recent run of form. And I did think that, whilst I'm willing to admit that the injuries have been horrific, I did think we should have taken a bit more responsibility there. And he should have perhaps been saying, we haven't been good enough, particularly in the last two games. And I was slightly disappointed in that. Probably for the first time since he's taken over. I just thought, no, you should be taking more responsibility there, Lee, that your team's not been good enough.
Yeah.
In terms of, maybe you can accept that our ability is down, but giving 100%, that perhaps wasn't quite the standard that he has set since he came in.
No, you make a good point, Harry. And I think with that, though, I think there is an element of him trying to protect
what is
a very fragile situation at the moment.
And
I think, to be fair, he did come out. I remember, was it the Wigan away game? He said they weren't up to scratch, which we all agreed. The Tuesday game against Huddersfield was frustrating. I sensed a lot more people came out of the ground on Friday, although it was another gutting,
yes,
injury time equaliser in this case, but I think a lot more people came out on Friday a lot more sort of happier than they were on Tuesday based on the performance. Absolutely. But I just think, personally, I think he's doing it. I think without Bowyer, I think, you know, God knows what it would be like, because he's so he's really holding it all together, I think. And your point was him to come out after the game and the way he was, he must have just been so gutted, because he could see that light at the end of the tunnel. And I mean, we were saying,
understandably despondent, you know, I completely understand that. And like you say, it's fair enough that he wouldn't dig out his players publicly necessarily, but I'm sure privately he'll have been disappointed, you know. I think that's probably more the point I was trying to make, but it's a fair enough point.
Yeah, Harry, the way I saw those three games, I was up at Middlesbrough for my sins, and it was there was nothing on offer at the Riverside. But come Tuesday, I felt they tried, but there was no quality. Whereas on Friday, they tried and there was some quality. That's the way. So it sort of improved game by game. But just going back to yourself, Harry, obviously these commentaries you do, how did that all come about with yourself?
It came about, I was in and around the press room anyway, doing reports for various local newspapers, and I was also reporting for a radio station called KMFM, which I think is still going. Mm-hmm. I was filing reports here and there, and then the guy who did it, who did the, Rob Shaw, who's been doing that, I think it was one of the people who set up the commentary originally, actually a colleague of my dad's, and he was often on his own. And so because I was in and around, I just said, well, I'm happy to, you know, happy to come along and help. And then that was probably, I think I might have been 6 or 7 years ago now.
Right.
And as apart from the 2 years I just spent in the US, I've been doing it ever since and thoroughly enjoying it. And you know, it's something that all football clubs should offer. I'm in no doubt about that. And so, you know, if I can help Charlton provide that service, then, you know, so much the better.
Yeah. And how many sort of, it goes out to hospitals, Harry, does it?
No, it only goes out inside the ground, this one.
Oh, I see.
People
okay.
who pick up, visually impaired fans can go to the club reception and pick up and then book out a headset. And there's about 40. And I think sometimes we get away fans as well. So I try and keep my commentary, where possible, as balanced and not hyper-partisan. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. But I mean, it's hard. It's particularly hard when you let in goals in deep into injury time, as you could hit.
Yeah, and I thought you handled it quite well, Harry.
Very professional.
I was going to say, I imagine the shoe had been on the other foot. What would you have been like at the old playoff final back in May when we'd have scored?
Oh, my goodness.
I would have loved to have heard that.
I don't know that my vocal cords would have recovered yet.
Well, he was sitting with us, wasn't he, at the playoff?
That's what I mean,
glory days.
Harry, have you got...
And I'll tell you one thing as well, just on that. For every last-minute equaliser or loser that we've let in this season, I do think, and I know Charlton have lost 17 points now from losing positions, only Wigan have lost more with 20. For every last-minute goal, and I was with you, Paul, obviously, at Aston Gate when we let in a 98th-minute goal. Huddersfield this week, Hull, I mean, I could go on.
Yeah.
But for every time we do that, I do just think you cannot take away that feeling from Wembley when we scored with the last kick of the last game, the 49th game of the season. And so we could probably let in about 20 last-minute goals this season.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I still wouldn't swap any of that.
Well, we're certainly
scoring in the last minute, you know?
We're certainly getting karma back for that, aren't we, Brian?
Well, we're doing our best. But I mean, I still think, you know, in the context of last-minute equalisers, you cannot beat that. You cannot beat that May feeling against Sunderland.
Yeah, it's a funny situation, what goes through your mind, because when Bristol City scored that 96-minute winner at Ashton Gate, I had a little moment in my head. I felt sorry for you, Harry, because I kept looking at your happy little face when we went ahead, and I just thought, oh, he's going to be gutted now. And, you know, my thoughts went out to you and your dad, because you were so happy.
I know. Still a thoroughly good away day, I would say.
Yeah, I think you did have a good day that day. Lots of local cider, sir.
Well, yeah, you can't beat the Clifton Suspension Bridge if you're in Bristol. You know, you've got to get out and about.
Harry, you mentioned that obviously maybe Charlton were overplaying at the start of the season. Now they've maybe found their level a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was harsh or not. It was a great start. But what is your expectations for the second half of the season?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Charlton finished the season in just about the position we're in now. Somewhere around 17th or 18th. I think... until we get back to full fitness and full strength, when we will undoubtedly rally, I expect us to probably not plummet further, but I think we might get closer to the relegation zone before things get better. And then when they do, we'll probably stabilise in somewhere in the lower reaches of the bottom half of the table. And I'm not worried about that. You know, if we finish 21st, I would have taken that at the start of the season. And I think after 10 games, myself and a lot of other fans would not have necessarily settled for 21st. But actually, in the grand scheme of things. And obviously, the huge, you know, unknown at this stage is, you know, A, when the EFL is going to ratify the takeover from East Street. And B, what that actually will mean in concrete terms, in terms of a budget for Bowyer. And, you know, ability to improve the side. So there's an unknown element there, but I think as things stand today, I would suggest that we'll probably end up somewhere around 17th or 18th come game 46.
Yeah, well, we'd definitely take that.
And
the other matter that came up today, Harry, was the Lyle contract situation. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. Well, it's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, I worked briefly for the club in communications, and it's sometimes hard to know where the truth lies. I would be surprised if Lee Bowyer was trying to play the communications game and trying to negotiate through the media by saying he's been offered a contract when he hadn't. And yet, if Lyle Taylor is saying he hasn't been offered a contract, and maybe his agent hasn't been fully truthful with him, but I find it slightly strange, to be honest, and I can't quite work out who's telling the truth.
Yeah,
not quite sure what's going on there. But usually, or you can, you know, you could potentially surmise that there might be something going on with the agent there. Or the agent is angling for something that isn't there, and then you can say, well, you know, he's come out and said this, and the agent can say, right, now you've got to move, and then the agent obviously takes their cut. And that is me throwing agents massively under the bus there.
No,
that'll be my reading of it from situations past.
How dare you, Harry.
Wise words, though, Harry. Sometimes it is that PR speak. They're so good at it. That is what they do. But we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of your time, Harry. We know you're busy. We'll have to get you on in the new year. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Harry.
Cheers, Harry.
Christmas dinner, so thanks very much.
get back to it. Enjoy it. Have an extra Yorkshire pudding on us. Harry Lowe there, Charlton fan, obviously doing the commentary at the games. Brilliant for obviously the fans that listen to Harry's commentary, and obviously Harry has to be impartial. I can't imagine it is the easiest, but ever the ultimate professional. Well, we are going to talk about Lyle Taylor's contract and do our own Charlton moments of the decade.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, the wonderful SE7 team. Paul Sullivan, Rob Sullivan, the Sullivan duo are back, the dangerous duo, and we have a knight in the studio, Sir Martin of the Adkins, leading us on the charge. Well, we also, as it is the last one, we're getting in the festive spirit. It wouldn't be a Christmas special show without the wonderful Ahmed, who joins us now. Ahmed, denied 3 points on Friday night. What did you make of it?
I thought the performance was galling, gut-wrenching and gobsmacking in terms of how it turned out.
Never let us down, Ahmed. Never let us down.
I'll try not to. I think you've talked about it. We keep conceding the late goals.
Yes, that's four. That's, I mean, five, including Sheffield Wednesday.
How many times? I mean, you know, both the players and the manager must have to learn the lessons of games and then apply them to the future games.
We've had a stat already mentioned by Harry Lowe, our phone guest tonight.
I've read that stat as well, yeah.
Yeah, so right. He mentioned about, obviously, 17 points have been
thrown away.
Yeah. Conversely, when you look at West Brom, I think they've gained 20 points from positions when they've been behind in games. And the other major stat, which was quite startling, Ahmed, was we've made 59 changes now. Throughout the season, which is the most changes.
I mean, that's purely a recognition of the injury problems we've had.
Oh, yeah. But
I mean, normally you like to rotate when you've got a decent squad, but obviously if you're having to make 3 or 4 changes a game because a lot of the players are out on long-term injuries, not short-term ones.
Agreed. Ahmed, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to
you
all.
You too. Obviously, today that we're going to be talking about it in a minute, but the sort of Lyle Taylor situation, what's your take on that?
I, You guys know what my position is on all the young players. The problem is length of contract. Under Ducharité, we only offer very short-term contracts to our players. When they turn out to be extremely successful, like Lyle's been, they're going to attract a lot of interest from clubs in our division and above. And basically, there is no way then, when their heads get turned by the sort of money they're going to be offered, that there's nothing we can do to compete with that.
Yeah, and you
so I'm saying basically Lyle Taylor will be gone in January.
Do you think?
Definitely, 100%.
And it is age, Ahmed. I mean, he's 29, I think. Probably 30s well, just around the corner.
He's got to look after himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, I understand that.
When's the opportunity? When is he like, before he joined us and he was at AFC Wimbledon, no disrespect to them or him, no Premier League club, for example, would have been that interested in him. No disrespect.
Well, I mean, I said on the forum earlier on the Charlton Life, I said that, for me, he's done his hard miles. He's come up through the lower leagues. Gives 110% every time he puts the shirt on. You can't begrudge him a move if he gets the opportunity.
No, exactly.
Cause...
I totally agree with you, 100%. That's how I feel about it as well, yeah.
And I'll tell you what else, as fans, we nicked him off of Wimbledon for nothing, so we can't begrudge him. We can't moan if we lose him for, you know, 500 grand or a million or...
Just out of interest, Rob, your best mate who supports Wimbledon, what was the feeling amongst the Wimbledon fans when they lost Lyle Taylor?
Well, for them, they accepted it. But, well, you know, it's Fargan, friend of the show, he said... you know, we were better positioned to go up than Wimbledon last season. He was at the end of his contract as well. Mm. You know, we probably... He grew up in Greenwich, didn't he, as well?
Yeah. But did he get stick from the Wimbledon fans?
I don't know, to be honest, but I can't imagine... You know, Wimbledon probably accepted the fact that they're not the sort of club that can hold on to... players, mind you, are Charlton the sort of club at the moment that can hold on to our good players? Probably not. No. You know.
If I can butt in there, I agree with what you just said, but the basic problem is what I said. If you keep offering decent players short-term contracts, how are you going to hold on to them?
Yeah, well, we had that situation with Joe Rebo, didn't we?
Until that gets resolved, if the new owners, you know, take a different perspective about when we sign players, how the length of contract they're going to give. I mean, because Ducharité has gone from the ridiculous, we say Naby Sarr having a 5-year contract, to someone like Lyle only having two or one and a half.
Yeah, but
I
think that's made on the basis that Ducharité's head has wanted to get out of Charlton since, what, 2-3 years ago.
Well,
so all of the players he brings in, like you said, Sarr... was the other end of the scale, although he's improved immeasurably. You know, we brought him on a ridiculously long contract, really, and probably decent money.
But the thing is, it just doesn't bring stability particularly, that's all.
Yeah, it's a tricky time right now. Ahmed, we really appreciate you calling tonight, but not just tonight, every week, and really, truly being a part of this Charlton fan show. So, Merry Christmas,
Ahmed.
And we look forward to speaking to you in the new year.
Thank you very much, guys. Same to you. Let's hope we get a result on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. Take care. Obviously, a tradition on this show, we get to talk to him and get his brilliant descriptive ways of the game. But we have mentioned Lyle Taylor. Let's get onto it now, because it kind of broke today. A contract had been offered, Mark, and it had been turned down. And then we've had Harry Lowe on. He says, look, we can't always believe what we hear. But what are you making of it?
Well, Mr. Corley, Richard Corley from the South London Press, put an article out today saying Lee Bowyer's come out and said that Lyle Taylor's turned down a contract. And then you go on social media, Lyle Taylor's on social media, had a go at a fan who's had a go at him, saying, well, no contract's been offered. So who's telling the truth, who's lying? I mean, you know, there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on here.
It's not healthy, though, if he's roaring with fans now, is it?
Well, you know, he's getting a lot of stick on Twitter from some of our fans, ridiculous fans. It's just, you know, I mean, I must admit, I've said I'm bored of the saga now. If he wants to go, go. You know, that's the way it is. But we can't... I don't know. There's a little bit of gamesmanship going on here. I don't know. It's between Bowyer and Taylor. I'm not sure. It'll all come out in the woodwork soon.
Just on that, Fargan, friend of the show, just texted.
Bless him.
He said Lyle didn't get any stick when he left us. Well, he left them, sorry. They wished him well.
And we should do the same.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, he puts 110% on the pitch every time he picks up the shirt for Charlton for me. So... You know, who in their right mind, if any of us got offered whatever he's going to be offered
as we were talking before the show outside, you know, I said this will be probably his last decent contract, you know, as a professional footballer. Because, you know, once he gets into the 31s, 32s, he probably, if he goes to another club, they're only going to offer him a year. You know, most clubs only offer players over the age of 30, 31 a year's contracts.
And you saw it with the knee injury he picked up on international duty. These players don't know when their career could be over, do they?
So this is his last decent contract. And, you know, touch wood, he'll sign it with us.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
It is an interesting one.
like Mark said, you know, the saga is continuing, you know, and if it plays out like that and he wants to go somewhere else, maybe he will go somewhere else. We're going to be keeping you across here. There's so much for us to get into. Before we quickly do your moments of the decade, just a little bit of housekeeping, Paul, as we always do. Two things I wanted to mention, and I know, Mark, you was across it on the SE7 Twitter. Every team thinks they're no good at corners. Charlton topped the list.
Unbelievable, that, wouldn't it?
I couldn't believe it.
It's the Playmaker Stats Twitter page. Whenever they put a stat out with Owen Charlton, they tag SC7 Pod in. And when it came out, I thought, what are they tagged us in that for? So I thought, oh, we must be in the worst one.
I mean, as everyone thought
well,
their own
yeah.
team.
So I've popped in, I'm going through the best ones, and lo and behold, there we are, top of the table, 7.22% success rate, and top...
What a lofty height, 7%, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, there's lies, damn lies and statistics. But no, I mean, it's odd, isn't it? Because, I mean, I've been watching us of late thinking... Some of you know the frustrating ones when they don't beat the man on the near post when you sort of do your head in. You just as a
football
fan, just you can't stand seeing it. But again, yeah, Tuesday night our first goal, Prattley. That was from a corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Conor Gallagher took the corner on Friday. He's just started taking the corners, I think, a bit more regularly, hasn't he?
Yeah,
well,
Cullen was taking them really beforehand. Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
So I mean, it's, you just don't realise when you're in the moment, do you?
It was a strange stat, but it was one to see. Another stat I thought was really impressive. There was a stat for who does most for charities and in their communities. Chelsea topped the list. Yep. Cholton was second. Brilliant. Out of all the clubs. Mm. Just above Norwich as well. 5.5 million this year raised alone. Absolutely. To see what Cholton are doing in a community, wonderful stat, Paul.
Yeah, and just you touching on that, the last two home games, we've had food bank collections. And it's nice to hear at Loftus Road on Saturday. I think Charlton and QPR are combining.
I have, yeah.
And basically, they're encouraging both sets of fans to bring their dry food and their tins along to the game, because QPR are getting involved in this as well. So, Charlton have always been a great community team, as you know, and that's one of the main things we want to get back with the new owners, you know, as well as the stability on the pitch. We just want that family feeling again, which we've lacked, you know, for the last few years, because that's what we were famous for, and that's what, you know, makes Charlton tick.
Yeah, that's what makes Charlton thrive. A wonderful initiative then on the weekend. Please, if you are around, do get involved. Well, we now come to the Charlton moments of the decade, and a few other moments, Mark, you're going to take us through them. But let's talk, what is your personal high of the last 10 years as a Charlton fan?
Blimey. Well, the obvious ones are obviously the two League One promotions, Chris Powell and Lee Bowyer. And a little strange, quirky fact is that both their first games were against Plymouth Argyle. Just work that one out.
Well, I'm going to say my one for the decade has got to be Johnny Jackson's goal against Saturday's opponent at the Valley.
Yes.
The header and the last minute.
It was fantastic,
wasn't
it?
The scenes of euphoria after that game. He tried to jump over the barrier, caught his leg, went arse over tit. And, shouldn't have said that, but there you go.
It's done now.
But that's probably my favourite. And it was also Dan CAFC 80's favourite moment. Yes.
Yeah, no, it was a mate. I mean, it was such a great memory. Chris Powell at the end was on the hanging off the crossbar, wasn't he, I think, after the game. And I think aside from the obvious, but I tell you what, I think back to the penalty shootout win over Doncaster, because I think we'd gone through the whole mix of emotions that night and the whole on the pitch afterwards, everything in LA, LA, LA. That was pretty special,
that'll
I think.
Take me on, because talking about Johnny Jackson, he's also been involved in a few special moments. Obviously, he's taming of Sheffield at those 2 weeks where he scored the winner up at Sheffield Wednesday and then the Sheffield United. And I put a quick poll out for 5 hours before the show. Who's your addict of the decade?
Nice.
And Mr. Jackson won resoundingly with 74%.
Very good. And Peter from Brockley, he's come out with a couple of good ones. He remembers with fondness the 5-4 win over Cardiff in November 2012.
Rob Pulse.
Yes. Were we 2 or 3?
2-0 down.
2-0 down, and we came right back in that game. And also a fantastic away win at Oakwell Barnsley. We won 6-0.
Record away win.
So that was superb. And then for a quirky one, he's gone for the match abandoned against Doncaster when we were 1-3 down. Enjoyed that because we were suffering and losing 3-1, and then the referee abandoned it. So.
And just quickly, because I know we're going to do our QPR opposition view with Gareth Dixon, but it is Christmas. It is a festive episode. Within the realms of, you know, actual possibility and being realistic, you've got one Christmas wish each for Charlton. What would would it be, Rob?
Get this takeover done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mark?
Lyle Taylor, sign the contract, please.
He said he was bored of the saga, but he wants it done. Paul?
Lee Bowyer to sign a contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long one.
And maybe if we're done with Gareth and we talk about the game, we will try to talk about the takeover because it is stalling somewhat. We're hearing maybe there's been a few problems. Maybe, again, all PR speak. We'll talk about that. Marty's shaking his head, so I'm going to tread very, very carefully. But we will do the QPR opposition view next. Love Sports. You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Sir Martin of the Atkins. Well, it's been a packed show. We've been talking our Charlton moments of the decade, looking at the charity work they do, topping that corner stat, Lyle Taylor's contract, obviously the takeover, and now we look towards the game on the weekend, the big London clash. It is QPR, and I'm delighted to say Gareth Dixon, the brilliant Gareth Dixon from the QPR Fan Show, has joined us now. Gareth, you wasn't on the QPR Fan Show this week, so we brought you on the Charlton one instead to talk about the game. It is a massive one. The record, the head-to-head, are very identical. Both teams need a win on the weekend, but what are you making of it?
Well, just to say, I'm available in the January transfer window, so if the Charlton boys are looking for an extra person, I'm around.
Really mix it up.
Lyle Taylor's contract's got nothing on mine. I think that it's an interesting proposition. We've had really interesting results against Charlton over the years. I remember a couple of spankings at home, a 4-2-1 sticks in the mind from when we got relegated from the Premier League. But I think, actually, you're a little bit unfortunate we got battered at Barnsley because they're will be a response and we aren't actually a bad side. So I'm looking forward and the run that Charlton are on and everything kind of leads to thinking is a better game for us this weekend. So London derbies always bring up surprises, always bring up hopefully a good game, but I'm looking forward to it. I can see it's an opportunity for QPR to get back on track.
Yeah, and Gareth, just sort of looking at your past couple of games, as far as I can see, you played a back four in those back-to-back wins over Preston and Birmingham, and then bizarrely went to a back five for the defeat at Barnsley. So what's going on there in Mark Warburton's tactical head?
Well, as Charlie will know, we spoke about Mark Warburton and his kind of his McLaren Wally with the Brawley is plan B is do plan A better. So that's what he's carrying around with him. So I think sometimes the changes are for change's sake and to show that he has got a football brain on him and he is willing to do different things. But yes, you're right. With the success we've got this year is back for the game against Preston, which was a real kind of professional win. They played a diamond and they played Jeff Cameron in front, protecting the back four, and they kind of let Easy go. And hope, you know, you boys will probably have heard of Easy and what he's doing this season. Yeah. He's an unreal talent. So if he's on his form and he's got the base to push on from, it's a little bit more solid than playing that weird back five, then yeah, he can cause teams a lot of harm. And we've also got a little bit of a conundrum with Ryan Manning and Lee Wallace playing down the left hand side. Ryan Manning's not a left back, he's a centre mid, but has filled in there at left back and done really well. Lee Wallace has been brought in as a season pro from Glasgow Rangers, but you know every time he's played, we've conceded goals and it's not squarely at his door. But when you start getting those stats against you, it doesn't look well. So yeah, hopefully it's a back four and hopefully it's more the Preston rather than the Barnsley.
Well, yeah, I was saying the tough part for Charlton at the moment is we're getting a bit overrun in the middle of the park through lack of availability of players. And but QPR, for me, they're quite an unpredictable team, just watching it as a kind of neutral. I mean, what did you see that yourselves week in, week out? Do you know what you're going to get week in, week out in terms of
I think, in terms of what we're going to get, if you look at our stats, apart from the Preston game, it's we're going to lose to the teams in the top 10 and we're going to normally beat the teams in the bottom 10. Now, obviously, Preston and Barnsley skew that statement out the window completely, but we are a middle of the road team. There's no way we're getting in playoffs. There's no way we're going to get relegated. We're going to finish anywhere between, you know, 10th and 14th, and that's an all right season under Warburton for what he's had to come in and do and bring 14 players in. So I think the unpredictability is the fact that we're in that middle of the road team and we're too good for some of the teams at the bottom, and we've caught some teams unawares away from home. I've said this from the start of the season that we're better set up to play away from home. Again, not against Barnsley, obviously, but Birmingham performance, Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday, we've done really well on our travels, which is not what we historically do. So that's something we've had to get over. And the expectation of winning those away games when you come home is just, you just turn up and win. And we haven't done that. So the Preston thing was a little bit of a monkey off our back with a clean sheet and the home win and the methodical manner of it. But yeah, I don't think we're unpredictable. It's just being able to get easy in the game, really. We're not a one-man team, but he is so pivotal to when we get success. And keeping goals out, which we haven't done well at all.
Well, we've sold nigh on 3,000 or just over 3,000 tickets for the game, rightly so, being a London derby. What sort of crowd, home crowd, do you envisage selling out the home ends?
Oh, not at all. No, it's been a little bit disappointing for the home crowd this season. If we get 14, it's great that you guys are filling up both ends. That'll make an atmosphere. QPR crowds have notoriously, they need something to get them going. They're not the, like, you know, we're not the home fans that get behind the team from the start and make a lot of noise. They need to be entertained. We're a little bit delicate and precious on that. Maybe it's because we're from West London and expect things. But yeah, away from home, fans have been great. But at home, it is a little bit mundane. And we need an early goal to kind of get behind them. But, you know, hopefully Charlton bringing that many, filling the top and bottom tiers at the school end will generate the atmosphere that will, you know, go lead into a good game. And, you know, fair play to you boys, because, you know, the season started, you started really well under Bowyer, and obviously he was linked to the Rangers job before Warburton. But you've had a little bit of a struggle lately, but yeah, fair play for selling out, and hopefully it's a good pre-Christmas atmosphere.
Gareth, what is your score prediction on the weekend?
I'm gonna mirror the Preston game. Hopefully it's a 2-0 for QPR.
2-0 for QPR. Well, you wanted that free transfer. With predictions like that, mate, I don't think you're getting it. But we'll let you get back and enjoy your evening, Gareth. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Gareth Dixon there from the QPR fan show. Obviously, he was going for the QPR win. Paul, because I do want to talk about quickly that takeover, your score prediction.
I was very confident with the likes of Williams and Field on the bench, but now that's been scuppered. But I'm going to stay positive for Christmas. 2-1 Charlton win.
Unbelievable. It must be Christmas. Rob, 6-0 Charlton.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think draw the best we can do personally, just based on where we're at in terms of the injuries.
Well, we will have Mr. Taylor back and hopefully he'll start. And I see some positive signs against Hull, but I'm with Rob. I think a draw, 1-0. I'll take a 1-0.
God, right. I'm the only positive person around here.
One positive result and two draws. Very quickly then, we are running slowly out of time, but what is the latest on the takeover then, Mark? Do we know?
Well, all we know is the EFL looking into links between Mr. Teamer or whatever and the mob at Man City, and I think that's been blown out of the water. There's nothing in there, so I think it's just a case of waiting and see, really. I think we're just waiting for the announcement.
Yeah. De Châtelet's throwing his duct tape shoes out the pram because he's upset that it's not going along as quickly as he wants it to. Because I think
but as we are, we all got excited when it was announced.
For me, that's the reason why I'm happy. I don't think they'd have gone public unless it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, Rob, I think you're right. It's just we want it over the line, over and done with. Well, very quickly, we've spoke about the takeover. It is the last show of Christmas. Is there a Christmas message from the SE7 team?
Well, we've had a fantastic year. I mean, we're all sort of getting a bit down on ourselves in the present situation, but we've had a wonderful year. And I'd just like to be up onwards and upwards for the new decade, not just a new year. And I think there's lots to look forward to. Potentially, this decade could be something special.
Yeah, for me, if we get this takeover done, get everyone back. If you stayed away under De Châtelet, fine. If you carried on going, fine. We're all as one. We're one unit of fans again. Let's bring back the fan base as united as one and get behind the team, because we've got a lot of potential with this club under Bowyer, in my opinion.
Well, all I'm going to say is Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. Keep following the SD7 podcast. Keep listening. It's only going to get better.
It's only going to get better. Make sure you get behind not just the team, but the SE7 pod as well. Check them out on Twitter. Keep listening to the shows. Make sure you call. Make sure you tweet. Make sure Charlton get those 3 points on the weekend to QPR. And we will see you in the new year. Merry Christmas. And come on, you addicts.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.